Good morning, listen to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Santo Torcivia with Market Insight. Santo, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Kemp. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being with us. For those who don't know, Santo is our source for statistical information about the marketplace. He's an expert in the flooring industry and does a lot of trend analysis. Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about Market Insight, Santo?
Well, I started the company 13 years ago after leaving Mannington, where I was working for 16 years. I know the flooring industry pretty well. We do our own proprietary research. We work closely with Floor Focus magazine. We've been producing proprietary reports for this industry all through that 13 years. We provide reports for companies understanding their markets and understanding how to gain competitive advantage.
Yeah, well, you're a huge resource for us and our editors, and you also put out a product that's called the U.S. Floor Report, which I believe is 45 or so days old. Tell us what that is.
That's a detailed analysis and forecast of the U.S. flooring industry. We not only look at units and dollar sales by market segment, but we also cross-reference that with market share histories, channel dynamics, where the products are going, where the growth areas are in the retail channels. We evaluate the main competitors, all the drivers of the industry, and if you're not following our research, you're probably lacking something to your competition who is.
Well, and I've looked at your customer list, and I've got to admit, most of the VPs of most of the big flooring companies are your customers on this report, so it's an excellent report. Since you just did this work, I thought it'd be good to talk a little bit about some of your thinking around the current marketplace. First question I want to ask you is, you know, how would you characterize this current economic situation?
Well, it's a very tough situation. We're going through some excruciatingly slow growth, which is uncommon in a recovery period as we should be going through right now. Normally, you see strong growth coming out of a deep recession as we've had. And we're not seeing that. We're seeing very slow growth. Housing is depressed, and that's usually a driver in a recovery. Commercial construction, the commercial market in general, is depressed. And consumer spending, what little there is really holding up the economy right now. Without getting too political, I think this administration is not a catalyst in this recovery. They're accumulating debt. They've spent huge amounts of stimulus spending, but it's all politically focused, not economically focused. We're suffering. I think the economy is suffering for it, and I wish the federal government would get out of the way and let the economy grow.
Yeah, focus on what they're supposed to do from a constitutional standpoint, but we'll stay away from the political side.
Don't get me on my soapbox.
That's right. A minute ago you mentioned about new home construction and, you know, the fact that it's a huge factor in flooring sales. Talk about the current situation with new home starts.
Well, housing starts in the first half of this year are averaging around 621,000 units, and that's a 20% gain over last year at this time. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, not to toot our own horn, but we're running just about the rate we predicted we'd be running at right now. Mm-hmm. I think some good news in all of this, though, is the markets that were truly decimated are starting to come back. Home building is up in most of the areas that we saw, like Nevada. Home building is up 75%. California, it's up 25%. And places like San Jose and Santa Barbara, it's up over 200%. Mm-hmm. Florida is even up 22%. And most of these markets, the single-family starts are leading the multifamily starts right now. So that's also a good sign. Those houses are bigger, use more upscale products, and so forth. Georgia is up 14%. Arizona is up 14%. Good news in these markets, which had been truly decimated and pulling down the economy all around the country. Most of the foreclosures we've read about in the past were centered in these areas. The one area that I'm amazed at that continues to drive home building in this country is Texas. Mm-hmm. Texas, year to date, is building more than twice as many homes as California, and they're accounting for about 14%. Of all the construction in the United States. So,
and Texas never really spiked, and so they never really had to fall off very far.
They've been
kind of steady the whole time.
Texas has been doing a lot of stuff right and continues to carry on in a good economic way. They are by far the biggest market, builder market in the country. Anybody who's doing business there knows that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the residential side. Let's talk a little bit about the commercial side. What do you think we can expect on the commercial side, which I think represents, you know, roughly about a third of the market?
Yeah. The good news on the commercial side is that over the last five quarters, U.S. companies in general have been very profitable. Mm-hmm. They've accumulated income, but they're sitting on all that income, and they're sitting on a lot of cash because they don't know what the future's holding. They don't know what's going to happen with health care. They don't know what's going to happen with taxation policy. They don't know what the government's plans are for the future. It's just a tremendous amount of uncertainty out there, both on the consumer side and on the commercial side. And I think that more than anything is holding back the economy.
They're holding back from hiring people too, aren't they?
That's right. I mean, without knowing what your cost structure is going to be, what the future is going to hold for demand, whether it's going to be a double dip in a recession or not, which I don't believe it will be, mm-hmm. but they're holding back in lieu of trying to figure out, you know, what's the best course of action. The recession has caused a number of areas to be hurt. The hotel motel business, people aren't taking vacations, business people aren't traveling as much with budgets being cut back. Healthcare and educational and non-government building construction has all been curtailed, as I said, because, you know, hospitals don't know what's really going to shake out of this healthcare reform bill. Tax revenues are off, so, you know, education and local governments are holding back on their construction plans. You know, everything is kind of up in the air. Once things straighten out and people understand where this country is going and are satisfied it's going in the right direction, I think you're going to start to see this shake loose.
Well, let's focus on the different flooring categories for a minute. Based on the economy and the situation we're in, which flooring categories are going to perform better than others in the future?
Well, for 2010, I think all the product types were forecasting single-digit growth. Mm-hmm. Nobody is going to see significant growth in this year, although we should see growth across the board. In 2011 and then the out years beyond that, I think you're going to see the traditional growth areas become the traditional product types. Ceramic tile, wood flooring are going to again move ahead to the head of the pack in terms of growth. We should see housing starts really take off, which are going to help both those product categories. To a lesser extent, laminate, I think, will be back on track. They've got that wood look, and now they're developing, you know, they're attempting to, over the years, to develop ceramic and stone looks. Mm-hmm. But people love the wood look and like to trade down to laminate when they can't afford the wood. And I think even in the niches, you're going to see some growth with modular, especially as commercial turns around and luxury vinyl tile continues to improve their looks and their installation characteristics, and I think that's going to be another growth category.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the home centers, just in the channels for a minute. A lot of talk about the home centers. When we did the research with retailers, we asked them what their number one problem was, and in this last issue that just came out at Floor Focus, home centers continue to be a thorn in the side of the specialty retailers. So what's your outlook for what's going on with the home centers?
Anything that comes in boxes on pallets are suited for the home centers. Mm-hmm. If you're, you know, ceramic tile, wood, laminate, product categories such as those that come on boxes, they're shipped on pallets, that is made for the home center logistical system. It's made for their retail model. It just fits their system. And vinyl tile is another one that fits in that category. They've been growing, and they've been increasing their penetration overall for the last 15 years. And I would say that's going to continue. Their growth has been somewhat lopsided. They've grown very strong in ceramic tile. They've grown very strong in wood and laminate, less so in carpet and resilient. Mm-hmm. Carpet and resilient are very problematic for their logistical train and their whole discount, low-cost system of doing business. Mm-hmm. Carpet and resilient come on rolls. You've got to cut it. You've got to keep track of what's on the roll. I mean, those kind of things, one, it requires higher service, and two, it requires more effort than they're used to with their other products in boxes on pallets.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to send out somebody to measure. And
that's
then,
right.
And then you have to send, and they don't want to be in the labor business other than the store personnel. So, they've got to hire an independent person to go out and put it in, and that's not their forte. So what you're saying is you're confirming that basically the home centers do very well and may even have as much as a 25% market share on the pallet type, box type goods, but their market share in the roll goods business is much lower, isn't it?
That's right, and it's very problematic for them. I see in the long term, I see this market shaking out in two directions. I see at the bottom, you have the discount retailers, and in there you'll find the home centers, the lumber liquidators, the retailers that are going to deal on price and move product out the door with a low overhead type of environment. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, you're going to have the high-end retailers, high service, where high-end products are sold with a lot of service and a lot of bells and whistles. We see it every day. If you just look around, you see you got Walmart on one end, you got Neiman Marcus on the other, and everybody in the middle struggles. You look at the automobile industry, General Motors decimated all of their brands in the middle of the market, and Cadillac and Chevrolet and Buick have been kept, but everything they've dropped has basically been in the middle. I mean, if you're selling Lexuses or you're selling Toyotas, you're a very happy guy, but if you're somewhere in the middle, it's a tough road to hoe right now. Yeah. That's only going to get worse. Retailers out there have to decide, you know, where their strengths are and which direction they're going to drive to.
Mm-hmm. Does that mean the home center should sell Berbers and low-end goods and that the specialty retailer should focus on the upper end, or do they have to have the full mix?
It all depends on what the service levels are, mm-hmm. but I would generally say yes. But each retailer has to make their own assessment. I think carpet in general is a problematic product for the home centers. What they did with that $39 installation thing was brilliant on their part because it took a negative off the table for them and turned it into a commodity and turned it into a non-issue. Now, how long they can sustain that is a big question mark. But, you know, when they're using third-party measurers and separate third-party installers, it's tough to control the installation and the end result product as it sits in the home. When a person takes boxes of ceramic tile out and finds their own guy, they're off the hook in terms of the installation at that point.
You know, the specialty retailer beat out the department store many years ago. You think there's a chance the specialty retailer could beat out the home centers in the end?
Absolutely. I think on this high end, absolutely. Yeah. Let's face it, Home Depot and Lowe's or Menards, whoever you're talking about, they're not going to change their market model mm-hmm. for 6.5% for 7% of their sales.
Yeah.
Their success has been based on a low-cost, high-turn market model. Now, for them to change that and add cost in a department that generates less than 10% of their sales, I don't think so. They've experimented with all different ways of approaching this, and every time has been a dead end for them. I don't see them being able to, like, you know, can the leopard change his spots? I don't think so.
Yeah. All right, we probably shouldn't reveal the whole book because you want to sell a few of these.
Save something for people that want to buy it.
That's right. Well, it's awfully insightful, Santo. I appreciate you spending time with us. Again, we've been talking with Santo Tercivia about some of the findings that he got after he looked at the marketplace in writing the U.S. Floor Report for this coming year. And you've been listening to Ken Parr and FloorDaily.net.